Welcome, Paseo. We are back with another Paseo Pathway podcast. Shelton, we've had a little bit of a break here over the summer, but we're getting ready to start our next round of growth groups. In fact, we already have started those. As we have been the last few times, we're going to be doing one of the practices, the spiritual practices that we've been learning from Practicing the Way. And this one is on the scripture practice, but anything you want to share or say to the church as we launch into this round of growth groups?
Well, maybe we need to recognize the obvious and that we're in a different location. We are in the Into the Harvest podcast recording studio. Yes. The Paseo studio is not available to us right now, so we are here and recording. This is cool, but I'm excited to step into this. And we have questions, like if we had organized the Practicing the Way, this would have been the practice that we would have started with scripture. And I think it is the primary way we learn to connect with God and experience our Father and Him speaking to us. And so, I'm excited to step into it. I think it's long overdue, because this is our fifth practice. Is that right? Is that fifth practice?
This maybe our sixth.
I think it should have been first, but here we go. So I'm thankful, and it's not ours like that. It was their rolling out of it and what their suggestion was, right. but it's okay. We're excited to step into it. And I think it's going to be meaningful for a lot of our folks. And so,
I think so. And I hope so. That's if we get a chance to talk with the Practicing the Way folks, I'd love to ask them if there was an intentional order, because of course we started with the Sabbath, but I agree. I think that the scripture practice is probably the foundational one. Yeah. And I think Jesus himself suggests that. Yeah. And we're going to start off this first week by looking at a few verses out of Luke chapter 8, the teachings of Jesus. And of course, we've been going through the Gospel of Matthew, but we just went through several weeks in Matthew 13, the parables of Jesus. One of those is the parable of the sower, or the parable of the four soils. And it seems that this parable in particular was foundational. In Mark's gospel, Jesus says, how is it that you, speaking to his disciples, he says, how is it that you don't understand this disciple or this parable? How then will you understand any of the parables? So there's something about the parable of the sower, which is foundational, I think. And so it gets into Jesus speaking the word, sowing the message, that the seed is the word of the kingdom. But maybe recap that, and then we're going to look from Luke's gospel at the verses that immediately follow that.
Yeah, the parable is a well-known one, right? And so like a man going out into his field and sowing seeds. So the word of God, he'll explain, is sown and is gone out, and it lands differently with different people. Same seed, but it lands differently. And so for some, it never penetrates, never takes root, because they're like the hard path. For others, it takes root quickly, but it never goes deep, because there's a shallowness to them. And so when the sun comes up, it scorches and what has grown dies off. For others, it takes root, but then other concerns and worries like thorns grow up and it chokes it off. But then there are a few who the word goes deeply into, and it then grows and it produces a harvest 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. And that, and he builds on this imagery of growth. But notice it's when the word lands and takes root inside that leads to the growth and the harvest. And so you have a follow-up there in Luke.
Yeah, let me read the verses that come immediately after the parable of the sower here in Luke chapter 8. So these are verses 16 through 18. Jesus continues to speak immediately after the parable. He says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor is anything secret that will not become known and come to light. So take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him.
That comes right after the parable of the sower.
Right after the parable of the sower, which of course is not accidental. As Luke is compiling his gospel record, he gives this foundational parable of the sower from Jesus. And then again, these are Jesus' words immediately following that. So what are some of the things that stood out to you?
Be careful how you listen.
Yeah.
Right. So, that's how we take in the soil or the seed of the word is we must listen to it. But there's effort involved in our listening and receiving it in that requires us to be careful about it. I'm struck and we'll look at, I think it's week two in our practices. I think if you're following along in the videos, Comer does a neat job to talk about the history of how we got the word, the Bible translated into everyday language, and talks about some of the martyrs that endured that. But we just take for granted that we have access to the word every day. It's available to us in multitude of ways. And I don't know if we're careful about listening. I think that's what this whole practice is about. Is you will not grow if you do not receive the word in. And to receive the word in, you've got to be careful about how you listen to it and how you receive it. So,
I do think that is the key statement there by Jesus. The key admonition is, so be careful how you listen. Mm-hmm. And going back to the parable, all four types of soil, all four people heard the word. Mm-hmm. It's what happened after that that really determined the outcome. Mm-hmm. And so, the foundation of discipleship and of faith itself is listening.
Yeah.
So if we don't listen, we're dead in the water. Nothing's going to really progress beyond that. And so Jesus is wanting to admonish us, be careful how you listen.
I think it's Paul David Tripp that I first heard make this point, and I think it's brilliant. And it's in Genesis 1 when God is creating, or in Genesis 2 when God is creating all of creation. And he the only thing he creates that he then has to give a command in order for it to fulfill is humanity. Mm-hmm. He doesn't tell the tree how to spread, it just does what it was created to do. Doesn't tell animals, but to humans he gives a direct command. And I think that's brilliant. And Paul David Tripp's point of that is humans were made to be dependent upon the word of God. And sin entered in because humanity doubted the word of God. Did God really say? And so sin is birthed in the not being careful to listen and to obey to the word of God. And so if we are redeemed from sin into a life of Jesus, then the basis of a new life, this restored life, is that we agree that the word of God is our life source. It's what we need. It's foundational to discipleship, to growth, to life. Jesus says, man does not live off of bread alone, but off of every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so this becomes our way of life. We become people of the word in the truest sense of that. And so, as we get into this, how do we come to see Jesus? We're not people of the Bible necessarily. We're people of the word, meaning Jesus is the word made flesh. He's the one that helps us understand the truth of everything. And so, and he's primarily seen as a teacher. That's his number one way he's referred to. I think how many times in the Gospels is he called rabbi?
Yeah, between 40 and 45 times throughout the four Gospels, Jesus is referred to as teacher or rabbi.
That's fascinating. Isn't it? Yeah. What does he say in John? I like that passage.
So in John 13, it's the Last Supper, and Jesus has just finished washing his disciples' feet. And so it's just Jesus and his 12 closest followers, and he begins to teach them, and he says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. And I love that, because if you know the audience, it's the disciples. And so a disciple is someone who is following Jesus as their teacher and as their Lord. And Jesus says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, that's who I am. So Jesus is a teacher, and he wants to have a relationship with his people where we are his students. And so this is like, it's foundational that this, again, the scripture practice, because scripture is the primary way that we can give attention to what God has spoken. And so, like you said, you know, God reveals himself in a number of ways, creation through his spirit working in our lives. His ultimate revelation was through his son, Jesus, God coming in the form of man and living among us. But the scripture, the written words of God, this is the recorded words of God, the recorded revelation of God that we can give our attention to as students.
And so cool that you have four different students, firsthand students of Jesus, that have recorded for us in the Gospels. You know, Luke gathered others' teachings, but you have four firsthand accounts of his teachings, that here is what the God made flesh taught, mm-hmm. that life is to be about. Mm. And that is then how we understand all the rest of the Bible, because Jesus will talk about how all yes. the law, all the prophet are fulfilled in him. And right. and he didn't come to abolish and get rid of the word of God. Jesus obviously knew the word of God, used it so much, expounded upon it so much and taught. So as believers and followers of Christ, the teachings of Jesus and about Jesus ought to be our source of understanding of how we're supposed to live life. Like this is it, that I have learned to live life from the world, from just observing. Mm. Now I need to come to Jesus. I'm dead to that way of life. I'm born again to a new way of life. But that new way is not a mystery. The new way is the way of life revealed and taught and exemplified by Jesus. So we come to him as students of life, and say, hey, I've had a lot of teachers, but only one of them is the creator of life, and I am following his way now. And so that's what it means to be a disciple, in that. And so, but to do that, we have to approach scripture not just for information, but for formation.
Right.
Because Jesus's goal is not, it's not like learning arithmetic.
Yes.
Like, here's a math lesson.
Right.
You've got the information in. His teaching is to transform who we are.
Right.
Right. So that means when we come to his teachings, when we come to scripture, we need to come to it differently. How would you differentiate of how we come to scripture for formation versus for information?
Well, you know, the word of God is living and active. That's what the New Testament tells us. And we know that because if we go back to the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, God is speaking, but it's not just information. You talk about formation. I mean, God is creating.
Literally forming. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's, you know, when God speaks, what it does is it brings new things into existence. It brings life to things that are dead. It brings order to things that are chaotic. And you just think about your life. When God begins to speak into your life and we give our attention to him, those same things are happening. So God begins to do something new in us that didn't exist before. He begins to fill us with his life, and he begins to bring order to the chaos of our pre-gospel selves. And, you know, you mentioned that we're constantly, and we've all been exposed to the world's way of thinking and even our own way of thinking, a way that is right in our own eyes. And part of why we need to be reformed rather than just informed is that there's a lot of flaws in the way that we think and what we value. And so the scriptures, the word of God, has the power to begin to renew our minds and reshape us. And so I think of information just makes us more educated, but formation changes us at the core of who we are. And that's what God wants to do.
There's a posture there.
Yes.
That matters.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. And so if we come to the Bible, and we'll get to this, and we need to be students of the Bible, but students are quite capable of becoming prideful, because now we become experts. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm experts in this book. I know the Greek or the Hebrew. I've memorized all these passages.
Yeah.
And if we just treat it like a topic that we can become an expert in, it'll lead to pride.
Yeah.
But if you were reading for the purpose of formation, you have to remain humble,
right?
To say, I need to be formed by you. I am not a finished product. There's still more to me that needs to be, I liked your word, reformed, transformed, because I have been malformed and sin is in me in that. And so there is a major difference of how you approach scripture when you're reading for information versus formation. Of, I just want to come humbly, Lord. And there's a posture of, I want to hear from you. I want to listen.
Yeah.
I want to listen. I also think there's a posture of I don't even know if it's a posture, but you just got to slow down. If you're reading for formation,
yes,
you got to slow down. You know, you can't just quickly take in the verse of the day right. and think, hey, I'm formed by that, I'm out.
Yeah, there are going to be some themes over these coming weeks as we go through the practice of Scripture. And next week in particular, we're going to talk more about taking time. Mm-hmm. This week, the challenge for us, the practice that we're going to engage in is reading the Scriptures daily. Mm-hmm. I do like so much of what you said just, you know, rings true for me that if we're just reading for information, I mean, Scripture tells us that knowledge puffs makes up. Arrogant. Yeah, yeah. It puffs us up. And, you know, Bible trivia is fun, but it's not the goal mm-hmm. of Scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, God didn't give us the Scripture just to give us lots of information about Him. Although that's important. It's information.
Vitally important.
Yeah. Yeah, it's information that leads to life. The posture thing is also really great. There's a verse that's really been helpful for me over the past year, Psalm 143, verse 8. And it says, "Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, O Lord, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should go, for to you I lift up my soul." Mm. But as I've reflected on that, I've begun praying that before I begin to read. Mm. And I just kind of switched the order up a little bit. And so it goes something like this: Lord, this morning, I want to offer my soul to you. I want to lift up my soul to you. And I'm asking that you would let me hear your loving kindness. Mm-hmm. I need that encouragement. I need that source of surety. And also that you would teach me the way in which I should go. So I also want to know, how should I live? And that's really what we need. And it's part of what we get from reading the Scriptures is encouragement, but also direction. And we do that if we approach it with the right posture, by lifting up our souls to Him. So let's wrap up this week by talking about maybe some tips for success.
Yeah.
As we go into, all of us at Paseo, we're all gonna try to read the Bible every day over the next 7 days. And that's the challenge for this week.
You know, and I will just put it bluntly to say, there will be no growth nor enjoyment in the life of the Lord without reading Scripture regularly. Mm. It needs to be a regular part.
That's a strong word.
I think like so. It. If man does not live off of bread alone, but off every word that comes from the mouth of God, then it's one thing to fast from bread.
Right, right, right.
If you fast from the Word of God, you'll get malnourished very quickly. So create a time and place. It takes effort. Mm-hmm. You know, you can take in the Word of God through listening to it. I know several of our folks, and I have at times used the daily audio Bible. Mm-hmm. But even in that, I had to learn to, I can't just make it background noise. I had to be careful how I listen to the Word of God, right? And so to really process it in as it's coming in. And so, yeah, I would say effort to find a time and place in your day. If you have a life in such a way that you can have a regular scheduled time, and if you're in that stage, great. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Build that practice. But if every day is unique unto its own and you don't have that regularity, it doesn't mean for that day you can't think about that day and say, hey, today for me, it's going to be that 3 o'clock hour. It's going to be over lunch. I'm going to stop and I'm going to open the Word. Like, you have to think it through, find your spot, and go read. And you like to have a plan of what to read as well.
Yeah, we've got some suggestions in the pathway guide. I mean, it can be very simple for this week. If you just want to read Psalm 1-7, you know, one Psalm per day. But I think it's good versus just kind of flipping your Bible open and reading some random verses. I do think the Bible is written and structured in an orderly way. And part of how we're going to get the most out of the Bible is approaching it in the way that it was ordered. So whether that's reading through a shorter book, you know, the book of Colossians has four chapters, so read a chapter a day, or taking the Psalms and reading one Psalm a day, I would encourage that. Yeah. I also really just want to affirm something you said there about reading versus listening. I think oftentimes both can be helpful. So sometimes I will actually read the Bible while it's playing, but I'm putting my eyes on the words. Mm. And so, you know, Pastor Gary says, is your finger in the text? Mm. Are your eyes on the words? Mm. I think it's important, even if you tend to be an auditory learner. Another challenge I would just strongly encourage our members is to use a physical Bible versus your phone. I mean, technology is great. The Bible app is great in a pinch, but our phones are probably the chief way of distraction. Absolutely. That we face in daily life. So Absolutely. If you can put your phone in a different room and have a physical Bible, your eyes are going to be on the words. And I would encourage you, as you read, if something stands out, to underline it or to highlight it. Yep. That's also something that's difficult to do with an app. It's very easy for me to go back from 3 days ago, and I can see what God was impressing upon me in my physical Bible. Hard to do that with the app. So,
yeah, you know, I agree with that 100%. I've tried to, as much as possible, get out of the digital world and be analog, you know, yeah. to be in on the paper, the pages, tangibly touching it. There's something that, but having the discipline to set distractions aside, mm-hmm. to focus in, have a plan of what you're going to read. Start with prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, in Pathways, we like the Psalm 119, show me beautiful things in your word, God, because it just starts you from a yeah. place of humility, not that place of pride.
Right.
That I don't stand on top of scripture studying it. Scripture stands on top of me and it's revealing itself to me and God's revealing. And so I need to have that lower than humility going into it. And then as you read something, read it again. And then I would argue read it a third time. Mm-hmm. We do this a lot with our pastors in Zambia when we train, and we've started some pathways here. And Gary has this line that I love, that hurry is the enemy of the preacher. Mm. But I think it's also the enemy of anybody that would want to know God. Hurry yeah. just gets in the way. Slow down, read.
Yes.
And then read it again and process it, really think through it. And we'll get on that with the meditation in our second week. But and then I like this. You also encourage, hey, share with somebody what you've read that day.
Yeah.
Why do you encourage it?
The easiest way for me to share this or to explain this is if I get to the end of the day and I try to remember something I read in the scriptures, mm-hmm. oftentimes it's very difficult for me to remember anything about what I read. Mm-hmm. And that may just be me, but I think that's probably a human failing or weakness. However, if I've had a conversation with you, I just remember the conversation. So there's something about when words come out of our mouths, we have an easier time recalling that. And so sharing one thing that stood out to you from your reading, it can be with your wife or with a coworker, with a friend, a fellow believer. It doesn't have to be mm-hmm. go talk to someone at the supermarket about what you read. Maybe that'll happen, but it can be anyone. Share one thing with one person. And I think you'll find that hanging on to what God is teaching you becomes much more effective. So
yeah, I like that. Well, we're getting long in the tooth here as we're talking a lot. This is something we're obviously both very passionate about. Church, I pray that as you hear this, as you're taking it in, that you take this practice to heart and say, hey, daily, I am going to create space to connect with my Father through the word that he has by his Spirit recorded and through his Son taught with clarity. And so we're excited to join in all of this. Love you. We'll see you next week.